Blog Talk Radio.
Lawrence and I Am God. He was there
in the beginning, and he'll be there to the end. Hallelujah. He's our first and our last. He's our Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited today, and I thank God for another Thursday. And we're quickly approaching the week ending. And I'm always grateful for another week ending. I thank God. I thank God he brought us through this week safely and on time. And welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries. And I come to you live each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today is September the 12th. 2019. We're 9 months and 12 days into this new year, and I'm so grateful unto Almighty God to see another day. Could have been dead and gone, oh, but it was him that let me live on. He's not done with me yet. Hallelujah. I still have work to get done, and so I'm grateful unto him. And today we are going to have Minister Dion Ogletree out of Miami, Florida. And Minister Ogletree, he was a police officer in three different states. And this man had one more awesome testimony. After his message, he began to tie in his testimony into the message today. And I'm praying that somebody will hear and know if he did it for Ogletree, he'll do it for me. Hallelujah. And I'm just thankful unto the Lord. He's not selfish. He's not just one person God, but he's all of our God. He made the heavens and the earth. He made us each for his pleasure, all of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so I'm so grateful unto him this morning. I appreciate him, and I love him today, and I so thank him. I tell you, it was him who first loved us. Hallelujah. Sent his only begotten son, and that's exciting news right there. I'm not going to prolong the time. We're going to pray this morning. I'm going to one more song, and then we're going right in with Minister Ogletree. Hallelujah. Dion Ogletree. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all you've done already, what you're doing right now, and, Father, what you're going to do. You're Almighty God who have all power. There's no higher power. And, Father, we thank you this morning, for all power is on our side today. Your word says if you be for us, you're more than the whole world against us. And, Father, you're for us. And so we know that you have our back, our front, our sides, our ups and our downs. You have us covered. And we look to the hills today, from which cometh our help, all of our help this morning. Father, it comes from you. Oh, yeah. And, Father, we ask today, in the name of Jesus, the Lord, you would forgive us all for all of our sins and wrongdoings, wrong thoughts, wrong speakings, wrong feelings. And though our sins be as scarlet, we ask this morning that you would wash us as white as snow, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and give us a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within us this day, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for forgiving us. Thank you for looking beyond our faults and yet meeting our needs. Thank you for being on our side in spite of us. Father, we thank you for putting our sins and wrongdoings in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. We thank you this morning. We can't say thank you enough. If we had 10,000 tongues, Father, and we began to praise you with everyone, it wouldn't be enough, hallelujah, for you're more than. Oh, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Ah, we thank you. Thank you. We thank you, Jesus. And, Father, I bring every caller and every listener before you this morning, those that are coming through the podcast and the archives as well. I ask today, touching and agreeing with them, that you would bless every household represented here, every family member, near and far, that, God, you would move in a mighty way in the precious name of Jesus. And you know what we stand in the need of today? We ask that you would move quickly on our behalf in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we ask that you would heal those that are sick this morning.
You took a beating for the healing of the nation. And, Father, there's yet healing in the hem of your garment. Do it today. We ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus. Bless those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military, Father, widowers and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, Israel and Jerusalem, America and the leadership of America. Father, bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning today. Have your way here. Move by your Spirit. Bless your people. We stand in the need of blessings, spiritual blessings today. Do it for us. And, Father, help us to remember, let it all fall on good ground, that, Father, we'll continue to grow in you. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you this morning. We're grateful unto you. And, Father, we appreciate you. We love you today. We love you, Father, for it was you who first loved us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to this one more song. And this was the original song that I played during the morning when Minister Ogletree was coming. And I tell you, Pastor Howell and I, we were just having a fit when this man brought his testimony forth. So let's take a listen to this song, and then we're going right in with Minister Dion Ogletree.
I'll rain. your daily source of inspiration. Jesus in the Morning Radio. Bold radio for real people.
Why was it that Jesus came? Well, back to Genesis 3 and chapter 15. After the fall of Adam and Eve, there was a prophecy given through the Lord about what was soon to come. And it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God was telling the devil back then that he was going to set a redeemer that was going to bruise his head and to redeem his people. Okay, Jesus had a job, as we all do, and it was to do his Father's business. That was for which he came. Even before he was incarnate in Mary's womb, he had been commissioned to come forth and do a job for the Lord. And in the womb, he was filled with the Spirit to do this here. What was happening is the business of the Lord was to give life to the dead and dying world. He came to call the sinners to repentance and to bring about a restoration. He came to seek and save that which was lost, to redeem fallen man back to God, to reconcile or bridge the gap that was left. See, when the fall had come, man was no longer connected to God. There was no longer a perfect walk. There was no longer a dialect or communication. It was almost as if God had turned his back on man because of what he had done. But because he was so loving, so graceful, and he loved his people so much, he had made a way to reconcile them back to himself. Now, we go over and note that the prophecy had to be fulfilled, but it came about in stages. He could only do these things because he had to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, in Matthew 12:18, God is saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen. He was speaking of his Son, my beloved, in whom I am, my soul is well pleased. I will put my Spirit upon him. Okay, but then in Matthew 3:16-17, when Jesus was baptized, he comes straight up out the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And the one whom God had sent to point the way to the Messiah said, I saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Then he turned around and said, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But then we go back to Luke 4:18. When Jesus finally become of age, it was time for him to come forth with his ministry. And he spoke these words after he had read the prophet Isaiah. He said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that were bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and he sat down. At that point, he was proclaiming why he was here and what he was to do. That was his Father's business that he was sent to do. As a result of his business, he did this with so much might and power and authority that the work that he began to do bear witness of who he was. In Matthew 11:5, Jesus was asked a question, and John, the very one who had been sent to point the way to him, had wanted to know, were you the one that I was to point out to the world, or is there another to come? And Jesus sent the disciples of John back. He told them, he said, go and show John again those things which you do see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised physically and spiritually, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He was letting God know that you don't have to question whether or not I am he. The works themselves will bear witness. It was because of the works that Jesus did many came to believe. But see, when we come to the point, we all, as Christians, have been called do our Father's will, whether it be as an apostle, whether it be as a pastor, whether it be as an evangelist, whether it be as 14:25-34, it reads, says, count the cost. It costs something to be a disciple of Christ. He must be first in our lives. We must be willing to say, like Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. We must be willing to forsake all. No. When Jesus was teaching in the temple, his mother and his brother were at the door outside desiring to meet with him. Yet when he was told this, he looked around at the crowd and he asked a question. He said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed out and he said, those that are willing to do the will of God, that's my mother and that my brother. When it comes to doing the will of God, we must put family and friends aside. Wives, husbands, mothers, fathers, children, sisters, brothers, etc. When God gives you a work to perform, nothing comes before that. We have to know our relationship with Him. Because we know our relationship with Him, we know why we are here. He is telling you what he wants you to do. Don't be like Peter when Jesus was telling him what he would suffer or go through at the end. And he looked over at John and said, Lord, what about this man? Jesus is saying, don't worry about no one else. Just be about my Father's business as it is given to you. True ministry involves serving others, giving up the word of God, praying, casting out demons, healing the sick, taking care of the widows and the orphans, baptizing and making disciples. To sum it up, we have to treat our neighbor as we treat ourselves. Doing the will of the Lord requires action. Be ye not just hearers of the word, but be ye doers. Action means performing or helping or hands-on. Jesus was constantly on the move. See, he came to seek and save that which was lost. The word seek meant he had to go out and find or search out those that he had come for. Yet, once he began to do the works of the Lord, the word spread about him so fast, the lost began to seek and search him out. The works that he did were done with power. They had power. The words he spoke, they were spoken with authority. Our assignments have been given. The Lord has already ordered our steps. The path has already been drawn up. The road is lit. All we have to do is obey. Be obedient and go. We don't have to worry about what we need to say. Because in that hour and in that time, the Holy Ghost, Lord have mercy, the Holy Ghost will give us what to say. This is the ministry of the Holy Ghost to lead and guide us into all truth. When God sends us out, he has already equipped them and empowered us. He has given us wisdom. He has given us guidance of the Holy Spirit, and he has given us directions. We step out in faith. We speak in faith. As he told us, his word will not return unto him void. His purpose will also be fulfilled. My Father's will is that all should come to repentance and none should perish. What is the Father's business for us? Mark 16:15 sums it up very well. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing and making disciples. As Christians, that's what we're commanded to do. Go forth, be living epistles, walking. And we are equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. There will be signs and wonders that follow. Now we ask ourselves, how can this be? Because God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. But God was with him. Jesus promised us that we would receive power from on high. He told us all power on earth and in heaven had been given to him, and that he was giving us the authority to use and invoke this power in his name. He further told us that greater works than the works that he's done shall we do. The Father's business we must be concerned with. That business to us is the Great Commission and loving God and loving our neighbors. You know, I look back in the Bible and I found many examples of those who were about their Father's business. I look at John the Baptist. when he finally was commissioned to come forth, he came out preaching about baptism or repentance. All he thought about was doing his Father's will. He knew that he had been come. He had come to point the way to the Messiah. It didn't matter whether they talked about him, they ridiculed him, or whatever that was done. He was diligent in preaching that baptism of repentance. Someone else who was about their father's business, that was Noah. Noah began to build an ark when it had never rained, and people laughed at him, they scorned him, they talked about him, but every day this man got up there in that hot sun and that cold weather, and he began to work on this ark because God had commissioned him to do something. And it is these examples that we're to draw our example from. When the Lord begins to talk to us and tell us to be about his business, we can't allow nothing and no one, no job, no trouble, no adversity, no demon in hell or nothing to come in between us and doing what we have been called to do. God is a God of purpose, and his purpose will be fulfilled. All of us have been called, just like Jeremiah, from the foundation of the world. He knew us in the belly. Before we came forth, he had commissioned us and put his word in us. All we have to do is believe and trust him and just go forth and step out. I have been called for many years and have known it. It's to a point now where when we go to do our Father's business, our family and friends may not understand some of the things of God. Seem to be foolish to them, but the Bible tells us he will take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. They have to have their faith that's out of this world. Sometimes when the people see you praising God and going hallelujah and glory to God and jumping up and down, they don't understand what's going on with you. But we have to be about our Father's will. That may mean going into places that we've never been. That may be talking to people we've never talked to. That may be, you know, I caution people a lot of times when they give this statement. They say, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll
come on here.
Whatever you want me to do. I'll say whatever you want me to say. See, we take that real lightly because see, we already have in our mind these preconceived notions of where we're supposed to go, who we're supposed to see, and what we're supposed to do. But, you know, I remember a while back when I told the Lord that I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go to preach your gospel. But see, I was under the impression that he would send me to California or Oklahoma or somewhere like that, and I would be up on a stage in a nice church. And then the Lord came back to me and he said, are you sure you will go wherever I tell you to go? I said, yes, Lord. He said, suppose I told you I wanted to send you to prison for the rest of your life and to shut you up in there. Would you still preach my word? Would you still be willing to go? And I had to step back and think about that. I'm like, whoa, Lord, that's not what I thought I was signing up for. I thought I would be out here in a church. I thought I would be walks the free. But the Lord said, no, you say you will go where I send you. See, it has to be about his will and not my will. And when I finally come to the understanding of what he meant, he tested me. I was back in Detroit back in the 90s, and I found myself, I was a police officer back then, and I found myself locked up by some of the same individual officers that I worked with. They put me in jail, they locked me up on an armed robbery and a murder charge. I had nothing to do with it. When I went to the preliminary arraignment, bam, they bound me over for trial. So what that meant is I went to the county jail. And while I was sitting in the county jail, the Lord reminded me of my promise. When I asked him, I said, Lord, why has this happened? Why wouldn't you allow the truth to come out so I could go home? And the Lord said, because you told me you'll go where I want you to go. So now I'm going to see if that was true. So after about 2 or 3 days, I realized what was going on. When I got on the ward that they had me on, I began to preach. I began to teach. I began to praise God and sing. I began to pray for the inmates. I began to do this. And all the while I began to do this, at the end of the night, before we were locked down for the night, people would come and say, I'm going to court tomorrow. I need you to pray for me on this matter. And I would always ask them, what is it that you need the Lord to do for you? And I know some of the inmates the other day would look at him and it was like, preacher man, they preach everybody else out of jail, but here he comes back. So I come back over there, I start preaching again. All of a sudden, they move me from that rock, as they call it, to another rock. I get over here, there's a fresh set of inmates. All of a sudden, I go to preaching, I go to singing, I go to teaching, I go to glory, hallelujah. Same thing. Every night before they go to court, they would say what they would want, go to court, and they would get it. Now, I'm sitting here saying, okay, Lord, I understand. Maybe I had just a little bit more work to do. About a month and a half later, here I go back to court. Lord, I want to go home. I want to go home today. I go back to court. Next thing you know, bam, here I go back to the jail with my head down. Now, at first, I began to question God, why is it that I can pray for everybody else and they can get what it is they want, but I couldn't get what I wanted? But see, I wasn't understanding. He had a work for me. He had a purpose for me at that time. And I also understood that maybe I was being tested. So, again, I moved a third time. Now, for those that have never been in jail, usually when you go to jail, you stay where you are the whole time. Yet still, I had favor. I was like Joseph. I could go places in the jail that other inmates couldn't go. I wouldn't have to be locked in a cell 23 hours a day like other inmates. I was able to move up and down and cheer and minister to people. So to make a long story short, 6 months had passed. And all of a sudden, it was time for me to go to trial because they took me all the way. And God was testing me because he had asked me, would I be willing to sacrifice my life and go to prison? And minister, what I still do. And up to this point, I was still doing. When I went to trial, prosecutor didn't offer me no plea agreement. They didn't offer nothing. They said, we're going to give you life. Now, granted, everything and all the evidence in the case showed that I was not guilty of this, but they had even got me to the point where I had begun to waver a little and believe that maybe this was about to happen. So my lawyer came and saw me, and he sent me down, and he said, Dion, that's my first name. He said, if I could get you off right now with time served, would you take it? Immediately I shouted, no, because, see, I know I had not done anything. I knew that I was innocent, and I knew that God was by my side. So when I go back to the jail that night and pray, I began to talk about it, and this is why you have to know who your God is. This is how you have to stand on his word. Because he told me he was going to deliver me. He just didn't tell me when. See, I was looking for it to happen in my time, but his time and his ways are not mine. He has a season and a time that he does things in. So the next day we went back to court. They selected a jury, and the trial began. Needless to say, the trial lasted 2 days. Jury went in for selection. They said, well, with these kind of cases, we never know how long the jury will take. So they took me back to the room, and they were preparing for a long week. 15 minutes later, my lawyer rushed up to the door and said, Dion, the jury is back. I asked him, I said, what does this mean? He said, I don't know. He said, usually when the jury come back early, it's in our favor. He said, but I've never saw one come back this soon. We go out, we sit down, I'm at the table, my lawyer looked at me. At this point, I got to be honest, I trusted God, but there was a fear in me because standing before me was a judge ready to give me life in prison. I didn't know if this was God's will, but I knew that whatever his will was, I was going to have to abide by it. They had me to stand up and face the jury. They asked the jury, had they reached a verdict? The jury said yes. As I looked over at one of the jurors, it was a young black man, and he was standing there with this his smirk on his face. Right away, the devil said, look at you. They got you. Look at him. He's smirking. He's sitting there now. They asked the jury what the verdict would be, and I said, Lord, whatever your will is, let it be. Jury came back with a not guilty verdict. I dropped on my knees. I started praising God. I started crying. I looked back at my mother and my brother. And I say, Lord, you are awesome. Then the deputies come over because usually when they find you not guilty, they got to take you back over to the jail and process you out. When the deputy grabbed my hand and put the hand judge told me to take me back. The judge asked him, he said, what are you doing? He said, well, we got to take him back and process him out. The judge said, did you not just hear the jury's verdict? They said, not guilty. He said, well, yes, sir, I did. He said, this man has spent 6 months over in the jail. All this time, everybody knowing he was innocent. He said, I don't know what it is. You have to take him back over there to do. But, Mr. Oluchi, you have a seat right there, because this day you're going to walk out the front door of this courtroom. Now,
hallelujah.
Nobody walks out the front door. See, God had a purpose. Sometimes when God tells you you're going to go somewhere, you have to be careful about saying, Lord, I'll go unless you truly mean it. Because, he's got a sense of humor. Like I said, I've always thought that I was going to be in the big arena. I've always thought I was going to be somewhere in a church behind a pulpit. I never knew that I was going to be on Skid Row preaching. I never knew that I was going to be preaching to homeless people in shelters. I never knew that I would be amongst drug addicts. I never knew that I would be amongst prisoners. But you know what? The whole time I was there, I always had a peace about it. I always felt the comfort and protection and love of God. And I always had the favor of God on my life. What is his business for me? The same as it was for Jesus, to preach the gospel, to go seek and save that which was lost. But the most important thing for me is to spread the love of God. And I often call myself the minister of love because I talk about love. See, we talk about John 3:16. Just about anybody else, a Christian, can quote John 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But I fail to differ. Most of them can't quote what I have come to believe is the most important scripture, and that's John 3:17, which says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, I kind of sometimes wonder about where some of the Christians have gone to, because we're so quick to want to judge and condemn when Christ was always about forgiving and restoring. See, we'll judge a person, and this is why people leave the church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're supposed to condone wrong behavior and sin, but God said, I have drawn them through love and kindness. And that's what we were commissioned to do. See, Jesus gave one commandment before he left here. His commandment was to love one another as I have loved you. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples. As I stated before, I don't have to go around telling you I'm a Christian. You should be able to see it in my walk. You should be able to see it in my talk. Love is an action word. I should be there to comfort you and to pick you up. See, I'm not going to look down on you and put my foot down on you. I'm going to look down on you to help you up and to help restore you and put you to your rightful place. See, when God restored us, he didn't put conditions on it. He said, go. Only condition he said, well, go and sin no more. But when he picked you up, he didn't say, now you got to sit over here for X amount of days and let me see if you will be right. When he picked us up, when he cleaned us up, when he filled us, he restored us, that was it. What is the will of God? That none shall perish. They often wonder why God is allowing what's going on in the world to go on. Why won't you come back, Lord? Why won't you stop this? Why won't you stop that? Very simply, because he gave us the commission to go. And until we go out and do what we're supposed to do, he can't come back. He's not going to come back. We have a commission. We have a charge to fulfill. And needless to say, we have been lacking. We have not been being obedient. We have not been doing what we have been called to do. Once we get it right, then he'll come on back. I just thank God for my testimony because, see, I know where I come from. That's why sometimes I'll post on Facebook, I thank God. I say that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Well, guess what? I know where I'd be, and I thank God I'm not there. I thank him for his grace and his mercy. I thank him for his love. I thank him that he's a forgiving God. I thank him that he's compassionate. I thank him because he's patient. I thank him because he's all-knowing and all-wise, because sometimes I can't see it. Sometimes I get caught up in flesh. Sometimes I want to fall. Sometimes I want to get weak and weary. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that dwells with awesome word. I must be about my Father's business. Hallelujah. He's a deliverer.
Yes, he is.
We got to be careful what we say to him, what we ask him, what we tell him. Yes, sir. I did say this, sir. I'll go if I have to go by my. He tested me. He should have tested
yes.
me with that same thing. Telling him, I'll go if I have to go by myself.
Yes.
And these evangelists and preachers that told me, we're going to meet you over there for the revival. I'm going down the street in the truck. Wasn't nobody in there but me. I said, well, Lord, they told me they were going with me. He said, but you told me you were going if you had to go by yourself. I'm sending you.
Yes.
And I hit that gas pedal and went on. And when I got to the church, it was so many people, I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. I done told him, Lord, send me, I'll go. I'll go if I have to go by myself. I meant it when I said it. But see, what I didn't know how he was sending me and what he was sending me to do.
Hallelujah. That's right.
We got to be careful in that. And we got to be about his business. See, many of us think our business is so. You know, oh, little Johnny, oh, big Johnny, oh, my daughter, my granddaughter, oh, mama, everybody. But he said, if you love them more than you love me, you're not worthy of me.
That's right.
It don't matter how things go. He has the last word. God has the last word.
That's right. You can't look back because it said, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy.
Of the word there, brother. You're not worthy for the kingdom, of the kingdom and for it. He got to have a people that's sold out. He got to have a people with a made-up mind. And you got to meet it. For God I live or for God I die. No matter what go on around me, he has the last word. You're dealing with all power. See, in this house where I live, I have some power. I have electricity. See, I can do the light, the computer, refrigerator, whatever run by electricity. I can do that in here. But the Jacksonville Electric Authority Company, they have all the power.
That's right.
Because they
That's
supply
right.
power to the entire county of Duval. So when you got Almighty God, he's got all power. It don't matter what mama say. It don't matter what grandmama say. It don't matter what the pastor say.
Yes.
He has all power. And what he say, that's what it's going to be. But we got to trust him. We got to believe him. We got to grab some trust scriptures, some faith scriptures, and hold on. Stand still so we can see his salvation. The lady called me yesterday and she said that the mothers of the church had gotten, you know, really old, and they was getting really older. And it was time up for them to renew some women to become mothers in the church.
Yes.
And she thought that they would nominate her, and then one of her relatives really wanted her to be, and they didn't put her name in there. Or they put it in there, and they never called her. And the family member was cutting the monkey over it. This and that and that and this. And she said she had a piece about it. She didn't say anything. She said last night, she was walking through the sanctuary, I think she told me. And the pastor come to her and just went ahead and gave her the position. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
It don't matter what you want. God got it. What you need, God got it. Whatever you want, God. We just got to go to him. Trusting and believing, holding on, occupying till he comes. We want to help somebody while we wait on him to take care of stuff. Because we don't know what God has to do to work it out. There's so much foolishness go on.
Yes.
And we don't know what he got to do to get it to. The senior bishop told me in the year 1994, God said I was getting a new car. I didn't have no money and no way to pay for one.
Mm-hmm.
He said that's what God said. He said it like on a Wednesday night. By the next Saturday, I was in the brand new car. But he told me that Friday night, he said, honey, he said, God told me to tell you, he didn't forget. He going to give you a brand new car, but he got to work your money situation out.
There you go.
You see, he got to work some situations out
for you around here.
Yes.
And don't forget, the enemy is always at work. He never rests. He slumbers not sleeping, but he's not like us.
No, he's not.
We fall slack. Yeah. We fall short. That devil don't fall nothing. But in every crack and crevice and cranny he can get in. Because he come but to kill, steal, and destroy.
And destroy.
And we can play if we want to. That devil is not playing with us. He's not playing with us. And I see these folk up playing with God and the pastors playing church and all these folk got these titles behind their name thinking it's making them look of importance, trying to trick people out their money and bamboozle and swindle and all this stuff. That devil is not playing with you. After a while, you're going to see many more names just out in the papers, on television. Some of them won't even be able to hold their head up. They're going to have to leave the country because they done so bad.
That's right.
Because you out here playing, and your sins will find you out. That devil ain't playing with you.
It exposes you.
The eyes of the Lord is in every place. I'm telling y'all today, he sees the evil and the good.
Yes,
and our righteousness is as filthy rags to him. Ain't no room to play. Ain't no time to play. We got to get it right with him. There's going to be many days when you don't feel like nothing. There have been many days I ain't feel like it was God. I didn't see no God. I didn't feel no God, but I knew in my heart beyond a shadow of doubt that he was who he said he was. He was alive and well.
Yes.
And all I had to say was Jesus. And I felt energized. I'm telling you now. And I began to talk to him. Lord, I don't even feel like talking. He'll give me energy to pray. The next thing I know, I'm up out in the streets doing something for somebody. Yeah. So we busy. The people of God are not lazy. We are busy people. There's always somebody to pray for. There's always somebody to carry a cup of sugar to. There's always somebody to get a shoe over there to. Always somebody to pay a light bill, a house note for. You ain't got the money, you got to pray for. I'm calling a church today for a young lady who don't have a car. Because this woman sang. But see, she played too. She played.
Okay.
But it's not my job to fool with what she played with God about. It's my job to be a blessing to her if I can. He got the rest.
Amen.
And God's doing this thing so she'll see he real. And the person you think he ain't real is, that's the one I'm going to use. See, I'm not going to use nobody with the big mega ministry to bless you where you come from. I'm going to use somebody who appear to have nothing to bless you. Because, see, I got heaven on my side. And if I got heaven on my side, that's more than the whole world. You see, we just got to line up, let them lips line up with our heart. What your heart saying, let your lips say. And what your lips saying, let it be in your heart.
That's right.
Because if not, you're a liar. I don't care how much you he can Messiah, he coming on the Kawasaki, you saw him in the Mitsubishi. He's a liar.
That's right.
He said, men honor me with their lips and their heart be far from it. Now that's the word of God.
Far from it.
That's what he said. And he meant what he said, and he's not a lying God. He tells the truth.
Yes,
we out here with all this talk, no faith. God done told us to turn certain things loose. We can't turn it loose. Oh, God, that's my child. Oh, God, that's my husband. Lord, mama. Mama going to carry you straight to hell. You witch, because you're disobedient. And if you disobey, it's witchcraft. Oh, yeah, I come to set you free. I come to share the truth with you. And it's just not for you. It's for me, too. It's for me, too. If I'm saying stuff and I'm not doing what I'm saying, I'm a liar and I'm a witch. If I don't do what God told me to do, I am a witch. And I'm operating in witchcraft because I'm disobedient unto Almighty God. Every word I speak to you is not just for you. It's for me, too. Huh. Ain't no...
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Minister Dion Ogletree this morning, and what an
awesome testimony. Did you hear that? He was a police officer, and they accused him of murder, locked him up. He said the same police officers he worked with, his co-workers, came and locked him up and went, because he had a conversation with the Lord. And he told God that he would go wherever he sent him. And the Lord brought the trial for him. So he had to go to jail. He had to obey God while he was in jail. And I know exactly what he's talking about. 30 days having church. I know what he's talking about. My goodness, from Zion. Everybody who he prayed with, the prayer was answered for them, but he had to stay. When he went to court, I know how that felt. The prosecutor came and asked him, well, look, if you could go home today, would you plead guilty? But he wasn't guilty. He said no. Once he said no, God took it over. And I know what he's talking about when he said when the judge turned you loose, you don't go right out the courthouse door. You have to go back to through the jail system and be what they call processed. The judge didn't even let him go back to be processed. He let him go through the front door. Then he could go to the jail himself, to the window, and get his belongings from out of there. God have a perfect plan. And if we could accept what God allowed, we would be better off. But we so busy fighting against it because we think we need to keep this stuff and we need to stay over here. I've been in this house 13 years. It don't make a difference if you've been in it 20. If God is moving you out of there, let's go. Because he had a season. Well, see, you don't understand, Barbara. I've been with my husband 10 years. And now he gone. Well, God had him designed for however old he was, and then God had it designed that he stay with you for 10 years. And after the 10 years, it's time for you to get up and do ministry. But see, we don't see any of that. We don't see when God removes something from us, it's time for us to work. That's one less thing we have to worry with. We're a little bit freer to do a little bit more. But we don't see any of this because we're holding on to our own life. We're making plans in our own life and doing this and that and patty caking with it and this and that. And I'm going to tell you something. When God gives you a work, you got to do it for the rest of your life, basically, sometimes. I'm still doing some of the same things as far as work go when I was a teenager when I didn't know God. I love social services. I love helping people through social services. I'm still doing that today, and I'm 62 years old. I've been baking brownies forever and a day. And guess what? I tried to get away from it. It's right back. Right back. So I got to bake them brownies and get them out of here, cupcakes and get them out of here. You see? Because of this, whatever God put your hand to do, stay with it. If he cut it off for a season, he going to cut it off for a season. Let it go. If he bring it back, pick it back up and go back with it. He know what's best for us. But we sit around wanting to know what's best for us. You don't know what's best for you. You didn't make you. You didn't put the breath of life in you. You didn't put a finger on your hand. You didn't put a hand on your wrist. You didn't put a wrist on your arm. You don't know about you like God does. He made you. He know what makes you tick. And when we learn to let go and let God have his way, tell him I'll go if I have to go by myself. Yes, Lord, wherever you send me, I'll go. And be prepared for the worst if it comes to that. Because everything God gets you to do, it's not always going to be easy. This is the 9th anniversary of Jesus in the Morning radio talk show. Every morning I came that I could come and do whatever it is God would have me to do. I can't tell you every day was easy. I can't tell you every morning I woke up clicking and clacking and running. And I can't tell you that. The older I got, the more it was as if I was slowing down in some areas. because he knows what's best for me. And when he say, that's it, no more, that's it, no more. It's no more I can do. But if I believe as long as I'm willing to work, God will continue. Because he's yet got people to reach. He yet want to encourage his people. He yet want the sinners to come. He's still seeking that which is lost. Yes. And it's all right today. Listen, the studio is open this morning. If there's anyone who have something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in this morning and share with us. You may have a testimony, a prayer request, or you may want to add something to obeying God or whatever your reasoning may be. Just feel free, again, to press that number one and come in. Listen, I'm going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, okay, I got you. Area code 843. That's like a South Carolina number. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Pastor Barbara. This is Evelyn Murray Drayton.
How are you, Dr.
Doing well. I thank God for your perseverance and just sticking to it. And I thank God for the word of encouragement coming through your guest this morning. I'm just excited to see God's people on task, and we are making a difference. So you continue to let God use you for his glory, and I just celebrate your life and what God is doing through you. And I thank you for the encouragement you have given me over the years. So your 9 years, you can know that your years were not in vain. Your labor was not in vain. I am one who was touched by your ministry, and I thank God for you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, thank God. Thank God. God bless you, Dr. Drayton, and your ministry has blessed me as well. I was just looking at something you had over on Facebook that you said you had told people, and they said she needs to stop talking the mess and this and that, but that thing come to pass. You hear me?
Yes.
God would not be mocked. Whatever he says, that's what's coming to pass. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, if you want to know about witchcraft in the church, this the doctor to get with right here. Yeah. Uh-huh. Because she tells the truth. And I know what she said was the truth. Yeah, I've seen it myself. Church folks, talking about throwing salt and making an altar in your house and burning candles and just crazy stuff. God don't need no help. Do you know he don't even need water and olive oil? We can use that. He'll bless it, anoint it. But there's nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a place where the righteous can run in and be saved. It's a place where those that have great faith in him can run in and be saved. The name of Jesus. One day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess at that name. Watch. Yeah. So I thank God for you this morning, Dr. Drayton. I thank God for you stopping by. This was just a wonderful surprise for me today. It got me excited.
Thank you.
I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is faithful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
And he knows
yes.
what we need and we need it. Yeah. My friend this morning, Sister Goodman, she's traveling today, and early this morning she hit me up, yeah, and had me laughing early in the morning. You see, God is a good person. Even if we're feeling down, he know who to send by, yeah, to lift us up. Because every day is not the same, yeah, but we got to love every day. We got to love the same every day. Yeah, we got to keep lifting him up every day. Because if he be lifted, he will do the drawing. He's going to draw all men unto him. Yeah, I'm excited. I love good testimonies. I love them. And I love good preaching coming from the word. Yeah, good teaching coming straight from the word of God. Yeah, I love all of that. So, again, the studio is open. I see Pastor Howell. This morning, and Pastor Howell, if you have something you would like to say, please feel free to press that number one, sister, and come in and say something. If you feel it, I don't know if Minister Shonda is in the area where she can talk because she may be at work this morning. And I thank 434-953. God bless you this morning. I think you were dialing the wrong number. That was the cell you was calling. Hallelujah. Good morning to you. Sister Rita, God bless you this morning. And good morning, Sister Diane. And good morning to you. I believe that's Sister Rose Brown. Good morning to you. Good morning, Pastor Howard again. Good morning to you, Dion, good morning. Dion must be looking back over that request I asked him to come for. Good morning to you, Minister Shonda again. And good morning, Brother Louis, the main man in the house today. And if y'all have some ideas of things y'all would like to get together on to do for Brother Louis, please send me a text, a message, or email, or call me even, and let me know your idea on what we're going to do for Brother Louis soon. Yeah, because I want to do something great for him. Yeah, faithful. Been a blessing for many a years. And so I thank God for that, and I want to be a blessing unto him and Sherry, because whatever we bless him with, we believe in knowing that Sherry is going to be a part of it. Yeah, and that's all right today in Jesus' name. I'll tell you what, Dr. Drayton, if you have just a few minutes, I'm going to this one song, and I'm going to go ahead and dedicate this one to you.
But I come to tell you tonight, somebody asked the question one day, say, is there anything too hard for God?
For your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God can. Every time I hear that, that just blessed me. And the Lord sent
that.
Wait, say that again, Dr. Drayton.
I said, all right there now. That's a good one.
Yeah. I saw this over on Apostle Timberlake's page. And he wrote the name out. I went and found the song. And at the time, I didn't know why, but I liked the song, and I love it a whole lot, I should say. And I went on about my business. So when they told us that Hurricane Dorian was headed our way, this song just popped right up in my spirit. I was talking to my daughter, and she was like, Mama, are you preparing for this? Do you have water? Did you go get this and that? I ain't go get nothing. God sent it to me. My niece went and brought me everything. Well, when she was talking, I said, well, let me ask you something. Do you think I can catch the wind or make the world spin? Do you think I can bring man about? And she stopped for a second. She said, okay, Mom, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, because, see, when we trust God, we give everything to him. He have a plan, I promise you, for each of us. No matter what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish, God already have a plan. And when you see him moving, step back. If you don't know it's him moving, stop yourself and ask, well, Lord, how do you want this to go? And he will show you.
Yeah.
Will be all right. Lewis said all he needs us to do is to pray for him. I'm not talking to Louis no more about this. I'm going to do what I do, and it will be all right in Jesus' name. Yeah. So, listen, is there anyone else? The studio is open. We have some time. If you have something you would like to say, press that number one and come on in. Good morning, Brother D. God bless you this morning. And Mary Ann and Laura, good morning. Alexis, Lushell, good morning to you. Good morning. God bless you, Pastor Herring. God bless you this morning, Brother Anthony. Hey, Mike, God bless you over there. Brother Glenn, God bless you. Good morning. Yeah, I left some people off today. I'm sorry. Y'all know I don't like to forget to call people's name. I don't want to leave nobody out. Did I say good morning, Brother Dan? God bless you today. And Brother Jermaine, God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, I forget some names, but we're going to get it together. And I believe that was Lachelle called me. Hey, Lachelle. Yeah, you can call me anytime. I got to run out after this and buy some supplies and run over and bake some brownies and come back, deliver them, and then when they cool, and then come back some cupcakes today. You see how that went? I try to move myself away from the baking scene. But every now and then, God will bring that back up. Now, I know once I deliver them, I know God is going to do something. Even to the restaurant owner that I'm delivering them to, there's something God have there for me. Yeah, something he's wanting me to do, and please believe it. Between leaving from baking them and letting them cool to getting over to the restaurant, he's going to manifest. And when I get in there, I plan to do just what, ain't no plan, I'm going to do what he said. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. But we thank God 9 years. 9 years. Woo. Anybody told me I'd have been here for 9 years doing this, I'd have told him, no, you're lying. Now go ahead on. Yeah. But God, hallelujah, it's got a purpose and a plan. And I thank him for it. Listen, tomorrow we are going to have Mr. Chaney. And if I'm not mistaken, he was in the movie Saint and Sinner. And so I've been emailing him back and forth and his management and sending some stuff, and they asked me some questions and different things. So she said Friday, which is tomorrow. So we plan to bring him. And then there's a great message by a woman by the name of Evangelist Lachelle Fuchs. Let me tell y'all something. This woman blessed me with the message. I was having a fit, you hear me? Because I knew some things she was talking about. I met a young lady years ago, and this woman had HIV, AIDS, one of the two. But God healed her body. And when she would talk about that thing, I could see it. You know, I could see how God came in. And she just surrendered, and he healed her body. After that, she began to obey God in the ministry. Yeah, she accepted her calling. And sometimes we see people, they messed up. That's because they're still running. They won't totally surrender unto God and just come on out. And no, it's never me, it's him. I'm willing to open my mouth and say whatever he wants me to say or whatever I believe he wants me to say. Or I'm just going, I know his word is true. I'm just going to speak his word. God will come in and open you up and bring ministry forth out of you. Because, see, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers. But we ask God to remember the labor that he called and chose us for. Yeah, there's no such thing as I'm saved and that's it. He need witnesses. He need workers. And if we all really got together and work, because see, in my part of the country where I am, you're not here, so we can't work together. So I have to do it, you know, go by myself. In your part of the country, you're there. I can't, you know, per se be there and work with you, but whatever I can do from here, I can support you. Same thing with me. Whatever you can do for me here, you can support me. But we have our own individual work. I talk about that wide road and the narrow road. That wide road is full and crowded. They bump it all into each other. But on that narrow and straight road, there's only a few. And every now and then, you pass somebody. And I often say it's because they have their work to do and you have your work to do. And many times we come over to the crowded road so that we can allow God to pull over or draw over to the straight and narrow road. But there's so much work on that wide road. Everybody he saves has enough work that you can be done. I don't have to take over anybody else's ministry. I don't have to go to church and outdo my pastor to take over his church. Why? That crowded road is so full, all I got to do is go over there and begin to work. And there's more work over there than I know what to do with it. And all the work over there is not for me. God just assigned me certain tasks to do over there. And then they're coming over on the straight and narrow. Hallelujah. Even saved folks. Because sometimes they get off the straight and narrow. And God will send somebody over that can minister to them and remind them, and they'll come back over on the straight and narrow. He's that kind of God. And he's on our side today in spite of our thoughts, our reactions, you know, our actions. He's yet for us. Yeah. He loves us. He looks beyond faults and yet meet need. He's that kind of God. But he wanted people that's going to repent. He wanted people that's willing to love others, even those that appear to be unlovable. Yeah. We're still talking about what Minister Ogletree talked about. I must be about my Father's business. And all of these things is about his business if we obey him and work. And to your surprise, you're going to find out when you start doing what God will have you to do, you're going to soon find out how much you love it. And you will take nothing for your journey. Yeah, because if I had known this much fun and this much good time and this much love was in obeying God, I'd did it way younger than I did. I'd have did it in my a long time ago, I would say that. But I come to him in my early 30s, yeah, and I begin to work and begin to seek him, begin to study the word, and the more I, you know, come closer to him, the better it felt to me, the more I enjoyed it. Yeah, I had to go many days by myself. People came against me. I was thinking when people said God, they really meant it, and I found out that wasn't true. That many had a form of godliness and denied the power thereof. They honored God with their lips, but their heart was far from it. In some cases, I felt hurt. But I yet had to pick up my cross and follow him. Yeah, I couldn't get stuck back there to my who hurt me. The work was still out there. There were still people I saw up and down the street who needed God, who needed to be encouraged. Yeah, who needed to be shown concern, love, all of this. Yeah, I see it today. And I'll stop my truck and get out and walk across the street. How you doing? And they looking crazy like, do I know you? They don't say it, but that's the look they have. Do I really know you? And I'm thinking, no, you don't know me, but God know everybody. And I go right on over there. And they said, oh, I'm doing all right. I said, well, look, I saw you over here and this, that, and whatever he give me. And I share with them and the conversation start. And for some reason, right quickly, they trust me. And then he right quickly used my mouth to bless them. And afterwards, I'm back in my truck and I'm gone on down the street. Yeah, but I love all of that. Yeah, I get in the Dollar Tree, Family Dollar, Dollar General, and he just started a church service right there. I love all of that. And see, I don't even think and have time to consider who's in there and who's looking and who's not looking. I'm too busy getting out of my mouth what he says. Yeah. And I can feel his presence there with me. Oh, my goodness, from Zion. Woo! See, in that, there's no structure. You know, there's no format. There's no formality there. That, you know, no protocol. Yeah, it's just that God is just being God, right? No limits on him, no restraints. Yeah, he's not in a box, and I got to top up a little bit so he can just come out a little bit. There's no box. And he's just having his way. And the people see. And many of them know, ooh, this God. Yeah. And many go out and they're blessed. Blessed. People coming up to the counter and picked up stuff that was on sale. They had no idea. He's that kind of God. I don't know, but back in the day in the 90s in Orlando, well, it was all over Florida. They had these Simply Fashion stores. And it started off being the $6 store. And you could go in there and get nice outfits for $6. Yeah, work outfits, all of that, put it together. And I went in there one Saturday with Brother Coxfield and another Brother Earl, and they were, and Sister Deborah, they was taking me around to do some shopping for revival, because, you know, that's the way people believe that when the evangelists come, that she come all dressed up. Y'all want to spend your money like that? I like clothes. Go ahead. So I went on, but when I got to Simply Fashion, God began to use my mouth on the sale rack. I was on the sale rack looking. And I began to tell Sister Deborah how, you know, God was moving in the sales for me, and women started flocking over there. And the Lord started speaking out of my mouth. And they were, the more he spoke, the more came. And they started shopping. I'm talking about these women started pulling clothes. Faith kicked in. So when, by the time I got to the counter, the manager and two more ladies, I think, was up there because they had to come on and open up more registers. And the manager said, oh, I thank God for you today. She said, I know God sent you in here. She said, because I needed to make my quota in sales. She said, now I've gone over. Now I've made my quota. And when I looked back, the line was long. They was in the line with clothes all thrown across their arms. Some women had both arms, you know, with clothes crossing, coming on up to the counter. And if I'm not mistaken, it's been so long, I believe the manager gave me a jewelry set, you know, the earrings and the necklace and the bracelet. I think she gave me a set. She said, because you blessed me today. I didn't even know the manager was listening. I didn't know. Because when he moving, I don't have time really a lot of times to look around and see who. Unless he say something that I got to look around and look for. I'm too busy being about my Father's business. I enjoyed that message this morning. Yes, sir. The police locked him up. Yeah. And he had to sit there and wait. Yeah, and God turned him loose because he was innocent. A policeman, he had been a policeman in three states, Washington, Ohio, his hometown, and Florida. Yeah. And I pray for my son because I sure don't want him to be locked up, but I sure want him to obey God at any cost. Yeah, and say what you mean to God and mean what you say. And it would be all right in Jesus' name. Yeah, because he worked for the sheriff's office. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful this morning. And a good morning to you, Sister Linda. God bless you today. Yeah, and looking forward. Oh, yeah, and we have Sister Diana. She's supposed to come tomorrow and share testimony too. And so, Sister Linda, what state is Sister Diana from? Help me remember, because I've forgotten. I want to say up north. That's what I want to say. You're wrong. All right. Okay. Maryland. I knew it was up north. Yeah, Maryland. So she should be coming in tomorrow and bless us as well. So we should, I mean, we should be full tomorrow and have a wonderful time in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have just a few more minutes. If there's anyone else have something they would like to say, if not, I'm going to play this song right here for Lachelle this morning. Lachelle, I'm going to dedicate this one to you.
Warrior head. Yeah, man.
The kind of radio you need. Yes, Jesus in the Morning Radio. Bold radio for real people.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what, Sister Linda, you reminded me, I'm going to call Sister Julie today and check on her. And she'll tell me how Michelle doing, most likely. And I kind of missed them too, but I know Sister Julie went and took some schooling. And she started work, if I'm not mistaken, in the medical field. And I know she's most likely working. And I talked to Sister Michelle. It's been a little while ago. And I still have some packages I have to ship to her. I didn't get those packages shipped out yet, but I got to ship some packages to her as well. But I thank God today. And your cups, I'm waiting on them. I have a couple of boxes in here with cups in them. But I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And hopefully soon I'll get those shipped out to everybody that I promised a cup to. So we thank God again this morning for the wonderful testimony of Minister Dion Ogletree. Thank God for Dr. Evelyn Drayton coming through. And I just thank God for each and every one this morning, those faithful few that come every morning faithfully to see what God has to say to the church. I'm grateful unto you, those through the podcast that come faithfully every day. Good morning, my goddaughter Laura, Mr. Mason, hey, Miss Deborah. And I got to remember that friend name, Laura, because I keep forgetting it. I need to look in the texts and get her name out of the text. And I stopped because I didn't want to pronounce her name wrong, but I'm going to look for her name and see if I can pronounce her name right and say good morning to her, your friend. God bless her today. And, you know, it's a good thing. My brother, my oldest brother, he was in a group, and the group was called United Souls. And I told Laura about it, and Laura went and found it. I was so shocked, and it did him a lot of good. Oh, it did him a lot of good, Laura. That's all he wanted to talk about. And his daughters, you know, I told them about it and everything. They was like, that's good. Yeah, that helped Dad, and that helped his memory, because he remembered the places that they had performed, the Apollo and all this stuff. So it did him a lot of good, and I thank you for that, Laura. I really do. God bless you. Thank you for it. So I'm going to find your friend number and make sure I give her a shout-out in the mornings as well. And we just thank, and Deborah is Sister Laura's mother, and Mr. Mason is Laura's son. Hallelujah. So we just thank God this morning. All right, we're moving right along. No one else have anything to say, Pastor Howell? All right, no one else have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you make me happy. I thank you for the joy and the love and the peace. I thank you this morning for friends and godly family here. Thank you for Jesus in the Morning, every caller, Father, and every listener, those coming through the podcast and the archives. I thank you for them. Thank you for those that just go even and take a look at Freedom Doors Ministries and Jesus in the Morning radio talk show websites. I thank you today, for Father, it's all unto you, nothing of myself. And Father, if it was not for you on my side, I really don't know today. It's so much could have happened to me. But I'm grateful this morning for all you've done, what you're doing right now, and Father, what you're going to do. And as we depart this morning, Father, every caller and every listener, I ask today, those that's coming through the podcast and archives, Father, I ask today that you would open doors, that you would make ways, that you would move in a mighty way for these your people. Father, I ask that you would fix their hearts and regulate their minds today, and that they would keep their mind on you, knowing, God, that you would keep them in perfect peace. No matter what come their way, remind them that you're on their side and you have it. Yeah, our trials come to make us strong, strengthen us in endurance, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we thank you, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and make our petition known unto you. We thank you this morning. As we depart, bless our going out and our coming in. Father, meet the need again in our lives today, according to your riches and glory, by your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask all of this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings upon you today, September the 12th, 2019, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day.